I hope that you find near you this card, and I'd like you to just take time right now to make sure everybody has one of these cards with Psalm 46 on it. So find one, make sure the people around you have one. If you've got extras near you, look to see if there's somebody who doesn't have one yet. Psalm 46 is an amazing psalm, and we are going to read and study this psalm today, so I am going to encourage you to take it with you as you leave this service too. One of the verses of Psalm 46 has become a song that they use in children and worship. Be still and know. They use this song as they get ready to hear God's word, and so now as we prepare our hearts to hear God's word from Psalm 46. Let's sing, Be Still and Know. And now let's read and hear together Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In this world, we have much trouble. In Sarah's prayer, she named many of those things that are troublesome in our lives and in the world around us. Wars, fires and floods, the current political climate, especially in this country, but politics in nations all around the world are in turmoil. And within our own lives, there's trouble at work or not work to do. There's trouble in our denomination, and some of us grieve or are afraid for the future. Many among us face sickness, or we are concerned about family members who've recently received a bad diagnosis. And there are other troubles in families and relationships when communication breaks down and things become tense. And sometimes different abilities and challenges make it difficult for us to live life together well, to flourish in the messy middle. Trouble is all around us. Frederick Buechner once wrote, here is the world. Beautiful and terrible things will happen. Don't be afraid. And then more recently, Kate Bowler composed a book of meditations during her season of chronic pain and illness. And her book's message for the harder times is, have a beautiful, terrible day. I think that both Buechner and Bowler have learned to say these things because they believe in the assurance and the promises that God has provided throughout Scripture. Joshua 1, be courageous. God is with us. Psalm 23, do not be anxious. The good shepherd will lead us. Romans 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And then during the Reformation, Martin Luther faced a time of crisis, controversy in the church, and threats against his life. In the midst of that turmoil, Martin Luther looked to Psalm 46, and he wrote the great hymn of the Reformation, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. This hymn demonstrates his defiance in the midst of turmoil and his faith in Jesus Christ. For God is our refuge. And it's fitting that Luther wrote a song rising out of Psalm 46, for it is labeled a song. And as the community gathers for worship, in this song, they are reminded that God is always present and always protecting, a refuge and fortress. And Psalm 46 is unusual. Many psalms arise out of a clear context of a person or a place or an occasion. Psalm 51, for instance, is a confession after David's sin with Bathsheba. Psalm 3 is a prayer when David fled from his son Absalom. Psalm 105 tells the history of God rescuing Israel from Egypt. Psalms 120 to 134 are psalms of ascent for the people to sing on their way to worship in Jerusalem. Psalm 45 is a wedding song. And most psalms have a clear purpose, whether thanksgiving or praise or lament. Now, Psalm 46 doesn't quite fit any of these categories, yet it does tell big truths about God. And though the problems do not have a specific historical context, they are general enough to feel familiar. And even though Psalm 46 does not use the word trust, this psalm assures us of God's trustworthiness in the midst of trouble. And people often turn to Psalm 46 when there is trouble. After the towers fell on September 11, 2001, it was said to be the most used prayer in gatherings for worship. And during COVID, many people turned to Psalm 46 in personal and communal prayer. I use Psalm 46 in pastoral visits, and we have often used Psalm 46 in our worship lately too. So it's a good psalm to be familiar with, and it's probably also worth learning more about. Thus, I'm preaching on it today. It begins with, God is our refuge. Refuge is a word that is often used in the Psalms. Sometimes it's the refuge of God's wings, sheltering and secure. Sometimes it's like being in a mother's arms. Other times, refuge has a connotation more like a safe place, a haven of protection, even a fortress. And God, it says, is ever present, always with us. So we don't need to be afraid, even when we're in trouble. The first kind of trouble that this psalm describes is the tumult in creation. The earth quakes, mountains fall, waters roar. Natural disasters happen all over the world, We get a very small glimpse of it when the rains are heavy in Grand Rapids and our trees blow over and streets get flooded. And then I wondered, did this ever happen in Israel? Were there floods? Sure. And earthquakes? Yes, sometimes. And I read that there have even been tsunamis along the coast of Israel. 20 years ago, this December, there was a terrible tsunami along the coasts of the Indian Ocean, with waves up to 100 feet high. And this tsunami killed about 230,000 people. Hardest hit was Banda Aceh in Indonesia. And our own Tom Post, who worked for what was then CRWRC, went to Banda Aceh within a couple weeks after this disaster. He described to me the devastation he saw there. From the coast, the first mile or more was flattened. And beyond that, among the buildings that were standing, cars and boats were tumbled all over. And people who lived on the safe side, he said, kept wanting to go back to their families in the zone of destruction, but all contact had been lost. And Tom could share many stories about those years when he returned to Banda Aceh to help, and he experienced gracious hospitality from the survivors, even in the midst of their own trauma. I'll share just one of his stories. When Tom and a colleague were in Banda Aceh shortly afterwards to help with relief efforts, they stayed across from a mosque, and they could listen to an imam who brought a message of consolation from what may have been Psalm 46. The imam wondered with his people, has this happened because God cursed us? No, the imam said. God is still with us. Even to people of other faiths, Psalm 46 can speak with the assurance, God is ever present. The Lord Almighty is with us. So the first section of Psalm 46 addressed how God was present in the tumult of creation. And the next section addresses political violence around the city of God. As the waters raged and mountains fell, now the nations rage and kingdoms fall. Yet verse 4 begins with quieter water, a river streaming with refreshment. There was no river in Jerusalem, so this could be generally any city of God. And this image of a gladsome river, perhaps it points back to the river running through the Garden of Eden at creation, and points forward to the life-giving river that flows from the throne in the city of God in the last chapter of Revelation. The Most High God dwells in this holy place, so she will not fall. As a matter of fact, God will help her at daybreak. When the day seems to dawn with trouble, God is here. Often armies of roaring nations attack first thing in the morning. And when Moses led the people through the water of the Red Sea at daybreak, the sea went back to its place and the Egyptian army was wiped out at the hand of God. God helps as morning comes. And the word of the Lord is powerful. In the beginning, God speaks, and the earth is created. Here, God's voice thunders, and the earth dissolves. And then, in verse 7, we get to the refrain. Now remember, this is a song for worship, and it has a repeated refrain. The first line of the refrain, "The Lord Almighty is with us." Sometimes this title, Lord Almighty, is translated Lord of Hosts. And we picture the Lord as a mighty warrior king who leads armies into battle. This military imagery is further developed in verses 8 to 9. This God of armies is with us in whatever battles we are facing. The refrain also names the God of Jacob. And we remember that God chose Jacob. God chose Israel, the descendants of Jacob, to be God's own people. And the covenant community belongs to the God who is a fortress. This fortress reminds us of the earlier words about a refuge. Now it's a stronghold, high up, very secure. For God is our protector. Then the final section of Psalm 46 begins with an invitation, maybe to those who are gathered for worship, the people of Israel, maybe even to the nations who are in uproar all around them with their military violence. The invitation, come and see. Witness this. The Lord is doing great things. To the nations in turmoil, God brings devastation. And my first thought when I read this was, how awful. Desolation? Yet, this is intended to be good news. Look how God is bringing an end to war. Broken bows, shattered spears, the weapons of violence are being destroyed. There will be no more fighting. And notice the verb tense here. It's not about the future. He will break the bow. Somehow, this is already happening. Can this be true? Is it possible that even the battles that are going on now within us, around us, and all around the world are part of God's ongoing plan to bring an end to conflict and war, to usher in peace? And now God speaks. The voice of God says, be still, stop. Into the chaos, God rebukes us, quiet. Quit rushing around. Stop your striving. Instead, pause and recognize that God is God. God will be exalted. God rules over all nations. God is sovereign over all the earth. Finally, I want to share the most surprising thing I learned in my study of this psalm, and it has to do with that be still, which I usually think means settle down, be quiet, just a quiet, calm word. But I read that it's a word of rebuke, to stop, to stop. In his closing comments of his commentary on Psalm 46, John Goldingay says, it's not possible to escape from violence into peace. So this isn't just about peace. Goldingay quotes Eugene Peterson, who wrote, praying in the midst of violence is our desperately needed corrective to the widespread malpractice of prayer as withdrawal. Prayer is not just about getting away. Violence, he says, is absorbed into the forms and ceremonies of prayer. So in the midst of violence, we need to pray. And then Goldingay writes this, be still and know that I am God is a common invitation in Christian spirituality. This involves a reinterpretation of the psalm. He says, nowhere do the Psalms have an ideal of silence. Their assumption is that one finds God not in the silence, but in the noise. And in noisy Western cultures, we may need to cultivate silence. And the use of this psalm to this end, he says, may be inspired by the Holy Spirit, even though it does make the words mean something that the psalmist did not say and would not have dreamed of saying. I had never thought of this before, but this is what Goldingay says. And then he continues, Spirit-inspired interpretation often works by making the words of Scripture mean something quite different from what they actually meant, because new situations make it necessary for God to say new things. I want to say that again. And this is when he's talking about this, be still and know that I am God, and how we use it. Spirit-inspired interpretation often works by making the words of Scripture mean something quite different from what they actually meant, because new situations makes it necessary for God to say new things. Then he goes on, at the same time, we have to be wary of missing what the text actually did say. Here it issues an important challenge to the superpower to stand still and recognize that God is God, and the superpower is not. Then Goldingay goes on to explain that the challenge to stop also means that God's people need to stop thinking that it is our responsibility to bring in the kingdom of God. The city of God is already an earthly reality, and we are in that messy middle, the already not yet. Goldingay concludes, in this city, it is not for us to fix things. It is for us to expect God to fix things. That's how Goldingay concludes his commentary on Psalm 46. It is for us to expect God to fix things. Now, there may be another day with a different scripture passage that reminds us what we are to do or urges us to action. But for today, in the midst of swirling chaos and uproar, maybe we do just need to be still. Just stop and expect God to act. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, our refuge, and our strength. Now that you've learned a little more about this psalm, I wonder which verse in Psalm 46 resonates most with you. I invite you, encourage you, to choose a verse or two and write it in your own handwriting on the back and commit to learning it. Now, you could learn the whole psalm. That's why we put it on this handy little card. It's so easy to tuck into a book or in your pocket or in your phone case or your purse. Easy to carry with you. But if all you can manage is one verse, write that verse on the back. And then pull it out and repeat it until you truly know it by heart. So now today, whether by the Spirit's inspiration we quiet ourselves before the Lord, or whether this is a song that reminds us to trust that God is in control, we are going to respond by singing again, Be Still and Know. We'll sing three verses. It begins with the voice of God reminding us to be still. And then we tell each other, God is our refuge. And finally, we pray to God, offering our trust. Let's rise in body and our spirit to sing.